Today's daf is Bechorah daf Zayin. We're going to start at the top. We're just going to review the question that we ended with yesterday, which was we started three lines from the bottom. Yibayelu, or maybe we should really start right before Tanu Rabbanan. Rachel shealdam min ez ve'ez shealdam min Rachel p'tura min ha'bechorah v'miyesh ba'mitzat simanim chayevet. The important part for us today is the Rabbi Shimon shita. Rabbi Shimon omer ad shehei roshov rubo domeh li'imo. Only if its face and its most of it is similar to the mother, are we going to say it's chayevet bebechora? So now the question is: Ibayelu la'achila mi by Rabbi Shimon Rosho v'rubo olo? Would he say the same thing regarding achila? Would we say le'inyan bechora k'tiv ach bechor shor ad shehu shor ubechoro shor aval la'achila gamal hu damarachmana de'asir ha'ishtane? But okay, so let's just stop for 1 minute. Do we say that since when it comes to Bechor, it says Ach Bechor Shor, which means he has to be a Shor and his Bechor has to be a Shor. And as long as it's not similar, Birosho Verubo, like a Shor, then it's not going to be need a Din Bechor. But when it comes to Achila, what did we say? A Gamal is what's forbidden. So what could we say? Ha Ishtani Mi Gamal Shapir Dami. Therefore, anything that's different from a gamal is already going to be mutar, even if it's somewhat similar to the mother, b'miktzat simanim, meaning it's a gamal that was born to a para, but the gamal looks a little bit like the para. That's already enough. That's already not like a gamal. O dilma lo shna, or do we say that the exact same thing would hold true for achila? Again, what would we say then? That as long as it's not Rosho V'rubo like its mother, we're going to treat it like a gamal, in which case it's not going to be kosher. So, first attempt to get to an answer. Tashma. Behema tohora, here's the following braita. Behema tohora she'alda min behemat me'a, asur ba'achila. Ve'im dome Rosho V'rubo li'imo, chayav bebechora. The first sentence here is talking about Isra Achila. The second sentence is talking about Bechor. But because it says, what's the case? The first case is a Torah, she'adam min be'emat me'ah. That's exactly our case. A para that gives birth to a gamal. Asur ba'achila. It's forbidden to eat. Ve'im domeh rosho v'rubo li'imo chayav bebechora. But if it's domeh rosho v'rubo, then it's going to be chayav bebechora. Now, it doesn't say chayav ba'achila, but the assumption is shmamina la'achila nami bai, that also for achila you would need rosho v'rubo, that unless it's rosho v'rubo, we're going to say like the first line, Torah shel damim bema tmea asur ba'achila. However, shmamina la'achila nami bai, sorry, nami bai, Rabbi Shimon rosho v'rubo. So then they say lo libachor. Okay, first of all, you have to assume this is Rabbi Shimon. Why is this bright to Rabbi Shimon? Because according to the Tanna of our Mishnah, who disagrees with Rabbi Shimon, a beimat Torah she'adam min beimat me'ah would be mutar ba'achila, because everything goes after the mother. And once you say it's Rabbi Shimon, then we have the rosho v'rubo. We're going to assume that it relates also to the achila part. But now the Gemara says, no, if you look at simply at that, with the pshat of that, it says, lo libachor dafka. You can assume that when it talks about Rosho V'rubo, that's dafka din for Bechora, because again, the first sentence was talking about Isra Achila, didn't say anything about Rosho V'rubo, and the second sentence that says, Ve'im domeh Rosho V'rubo li'imo, it's chayav be'bechora, which means le'bechora dafka. Daikanami de'kashavka la'achila ve'kam le'a bechora, and all the more so we could be medayik, because it left the topic of Achila in the second sentence and went to Bechor. Shmamina lebechoru hu debay Rabbi Shimon rosho v'rubo aval achila lo, and therefore one can conclude dafka the opposite, that based on this we can assume that ba'achila he doesn't need rosho v'rubo. So we kind of took it to prove one thing, we now reversed it and said no, it actually proves the other side. Now they're going to reject that proof also and say lo olam em alacha la'achila nami bay. One could still explain the possibility it is talking about achila. Ubechora itzdrich. Why did it talk about bechora specifically in the second line? Because salkadat hachamina ho il uchtiv ach bechor shor ad shehe shor ubechoro shor velo tiskele berosho v'rubo ad ikakule kamashmalan. You might have thought that dafka by bechor, since it has to really be like a shor, that it wouldn't be enough just to look like a shor, even rosho v'rubo. Maybe it would need to completely be a shor, and therefore it's telling you even in bechora rosho v'rubo is enough. But when it comes to achila, it's telling you dafka ni rosho v'rubo, and it's not enough to have just it look dome b'miktzat simani. Therefore, we come to the conclusion, which that we really can't come to any conclusion from this source, because this source could be read in both ways. Tashma, next attempt at bringing a source. Ach et ze lo tochlu mimale geram mefrisei parsa. Ze yata ochel, aval ata ochel haba b'siman echad. Again, we have the ach et ze lo tochlu. What does it tell you? This you can't eat, meaning the gamal, but there is some type that you can eat. What is that? Haba b'siman echad. Ve'eze ze, what is that ba b'siman echad? Eze ze haba b'siman echad. Ze tame hanolab min atahor. This is talking about a tame that's no lab in a tahor. Now again, what are we assuming here? We must be talking about Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon says you can't eat a tame no lab in a tahor. But they're going to say here, you can eat what? Zat tame no lab in a tahor v'iburo min a tahor. Okay, you can eat a tame that's no lab in a tahor as long as it was impregnated with another tahor animal. So you have two tahor animals give birth to a tame animal, that's going to be mutar. Yachol afilu iburo min atameh. We would assume even, now you might think, even if it got impregnated by a tameh animal, you'd be able to eat it. Talmud lamar, sek savim v'se izim. This is when it lists the kosher animals. What do you learn here? Savim is plural and izim is plural. Ad she aviv keves v'imo kivsa. Divra Rabbi Yoshua. He learns from another pasuk of the kvasim and the izim that the both parents have to be tahor animals in order for the animal to be tahor. But if the father was tameh and the mother was tahor, that wouldn't work. Okay, then it would be a problem if the nolab was a behemat tameh. Rabbi Eliezer Homer lo bahakatuv lahatir et hamutar ela lahosif al hamutar. Okay, according to Rabbi Eliezer, this pasuk, the ze, is not coming to allow something that was mutar. It's coming, right, to allow something that you would have thought was asur. It's coming, lehosif al hamutar. What does that mean? Ve'eze ze, what's this case? Tameh hanolab min atahor, v'iburo min atameh. Dafke, he says it's coming to include an additional case, not what Rabbi Yoshua said, or in addition to what Rabbi Yehuda said, but against this part of Rabbi Yoshua, that a tameh that's born from a tahor, that got impregnated by a tameh animal, would be allowed also. Tameh anolav minator viburo minatameh would be allowed. Okay? So if it's a vlad. Right. Now this is only in which case, right? Both of these are talking about a case where it has miktsat simanim. Okay? Where it does have, it looks a little bit, right? You have a para that got impregnated by a donkey and gave birth to a donkey, but the donkey looks a little bit like a para, then we're going to say it's tahor. Oh, eno ela iburo mina tahor. Maybe it only means if it was impregnated by a kosher animal. Talmud lomar, sure, sek savim v'seizim. He's going to darshan this differently. Why does it say se kvasim? And then again, se izim. Mikol makom. The reason it repeats the word se is to teach you either which way, whether it was impregnated by a kosher or a non-kosher animal. Kare le tameh ke Rabbi Shimon. Now notice, what does this say? It's considered tameh, like Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon says that the vlad that's born from a kosher animal that looks like a non-kosher animal is called a non-kosher animal and is forbidden to be eaten. So that part is like Rabbi Shimon. Ve'ka'amar aval ata ochel haba b'siman echad. But it also says that it's allowed to be eaten if it looks, okay, what's haba b'siman echad? It looks in one siman like its mother, meaning it resembles a little bit of the mother. If it resembles a little bit like the mother, I forgot to explain that when I explained Rabbi Yoshua, that haba b'siman echad means it somewhat resembles the mother. And therefore, it sounds like Rabbi Shimon would say, since, right, we're assuming this all must go by Rabbi Shimon, because again, if it was like Tanakama, it would be Torah no matter what, because, you know, the Tan of our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah says as long as the mother's Tahor, everything's Tahor, it doesn't matter. So this must be going like Rabbi Shimon, and yet it says as long as it's similar in one Siman, which means not Rosho Verubo. So here you have your answer that it's different from Din Bechor. But now they reject this and they say, no, you could simply say the Tana of these Tanaim, Hai Tana Savarle Kavate Bechada U Paligale Bechada. agrees on one count with Rabbi Shimon about it's considered tameh, unless it's domeh, but in the issue of how similar it needs to be, is going to be cholek on Rabbi Shimon and thinks you don't need Rosh HaVerubo, you just need one siman. But it doesn't necessarily prove anything about what Rabbi Shimon holds. Now we're going to have a whole different... Okay, so here we still haven't gotten to any conclusion about Rabbi Shimon. Now we're going to say the Ika de Machshei Umotiv, there are those who started out the whole thing by bringing a koshi and saying like this. Iburomina Tameh, the Braita mentioned Iburomina Tameh, right? If it got impregnated by a Tameh animal. Mima Avra, could you actually get impregnated by a Tameh animal? This Braita makes no sense. It's virtually impossible, okay, from a reality perspective. A tameh animal can't get impregnated by a tahor, and a tahor can't get impregnated by a tameh. Velo gasa min hadaka, a large one not from a small one. Velo daka min hagasar, or the reverse. Velo behema min hachaya, velo chaya min habehema. Okay, and a behema can't get impregnated by a chaya, and a chaya not from a behema. Chutz mi Rabbi Lezer u'machlokto, except for the only disagreement we have about this topic is Rabbi Lezer and the one who disagrees with him, that both of them agree, shayu omrim, chaya mitaberet mi behema. They do think that a chaya could become impregnated from an animal. Okay, an undomesticated animal could become impregnated by a domesticated. The Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, so now we have a problem, right? So far we're saying this braita doesn't make any sense, iburom min hatameh. The Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Rabbi Yirmiya explained the Braita is saying, "Di aber mikalut ben para va'aliba d'Rabbi Shimon kamar." He said it must be that what happened, the para got impregnated from a kalut that was born to a para. If you remember, we had this a long time ago. This case of a kalut, which is an animal that doesn't have split hooves, could be potentially born. It's like a para, but it's a para without split hooves. So that's like a case of a tameh shenol dam min hatahor. And that's the case that they're talking about. Iburom min hatameh means that it was born from a kalut, it was born from a para. So it wasn't a totally tameh animal. It was this in-between. Ba'aliba d'Rabbi Shimon kamar. And it must be according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds that a tameh animal that's born from a tahor animal would be tameh. And it could impregnate. And then... V'ka'amar avalata ochel haba b'siman echad. And the Tana of the Braita said what? You can eat it as long as it has one siman similar to the mother. So what do you see here? Again, it goes like Rabbi Shimon, and it shows that haba b'siman echad. So now what do they say? No, again, they would answer the same way. Hai Tana sabar le'kavate b'chada u'palagale b'chada. Now, they want to talk about this machloket that we saw between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, about whether we can be matir only if the aviv was tahor, or can we also matir if aviv was tameh? So now they say lemeimer de Rabbi Lezer savar zev zegorei mutar. Rabbi Lezer who matirs the offspring of a para and a chamor, let's say, which again is a chamor but looks a little bit resembles somewhat the para. We're going to say that's mutar for eating. He must hold zevzegore mutar, that if two things give, right, there's two things at play here. There's the mother and the father. And if one is mutar and one is asur, we're going to call that zevzegore. And if he holds zevzegore as mutar, that's why he says this is mutar. Rabbi Yoshua savar zevzegore asur, and that's why he forbids this. But if you want to say that that's the machloka between them, we learned that they hold the opposite when it comes to zevzegore. How so? Vlad trefa, if you have the vlad of a trefa, you have an animal who's a trefa who gives birth to another animal. Rabbi Eliezer omer, lo yikarev l'gabe mizbeach. It's forbidden to put this on the mizbeach. What's the case here? You have the mother's a trefa and the father's a healthy animal. So he says, lo yikarev l'gabe mizbeach. Why? Zevzegorem is usser, which is the exact opposite of what he said in our case. Rabbi Yoshua omer, yikrav l'gabe mizbeach. He says, again, the exact opposite of what he said in our case, because here he says, zevzegorem would be mutar. Ba'alma savar Rabbi Eliezer zevzegorem asur. Now we're going to say, really, he holds like what he says about the vlad trefa machloket. But here we have a unique case, shanehacha, De'im kein nechtov kra, se ksavim ve'izim. Se ve'se lamali, shma mina, se mikol makom. If you remember, each of them had a drasha from the pasuk, so we're going to basically say that they have an opinion about zev ze gorim elsewhere. That's their opinion. But this case is exceptional because of what it says in the pasuk. So Relezer is going to darsh in the se ve'se, which means mikol makom, which means no matter what, it's going to be mutar as long as it looks like, right, as long as the mother's Torah, and it looks a little bit like the mother. Rabbi Yeshua amar lecha, Ba'alma, Rabbi Yeshua would answer, Ba'alma zebezegorim mutar. Really, it's generally mutar. Ba'acha, but here it's an exception, because in kein lichtav kra, shor kesev eiz, should have just said, in singular, shor kesev eiz, ksavim v'izim l'amali, why does it say it b'rabim? Shma in plural, shma mina, ad she'aviv keves v'imo kivsa. You have to have both parents in order for it to be kosher. And that's why, right, again, that pasuk was talking about the kosher animals. Okay, so we still have no answer about Rabbi Shimon. So now we're going to go back to ask again, does he need Rosh Ovarubo in order for us to say that if it looks like the mother, it's going to be considered like the mother and be kosher for the purposes of eating? And meaning he would need Rosh Ovarubo, it wouldn't be enough just Miksat Simani. It would look a little bit like the mother. Tashma, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Gamal Gamal Shnei Pa'amim, Echad Gamal Hanola Ben HaGamal, ואחד גמל הנולד מן הפרה. ואם ראשו ורובו דומה לאמו, מותר באכילה. But I don't know why we didn't start with this source. This source says it explicitly. Because it says gamal, both in Vayikra and in Dvarim, what do we learn? One is about a gamal that's born to a gamal, and one is a gamal who's born to a para. But then it says, if Rosho Verubo Domeli Imo, but if it looks like its mother, it's a gamal that's born to a para, but looks like a para, in the sense that Rosho Verubo is like its mother, then it's mutar b'achila. And this obviously, it says it's Rabbi Shimon. Therefore, shmamina l'achila nami by Rabbi Shimon, Rosho Verubo shmamina. Too bad they didn't start there. That would have made our daf much simpler. Okay. Shayotze minatameh v'chule. So now we're getting to the part of the Mishnah where it says, whatever comes from the Tameh is Tameh, and whatever comes from a Tahor, Tahor. So now we're going to talk about what does it mean, whatever comes out of. We're going to talk about all sorts of things that come out of animals and make some distinctions. Ba'o mine me Rav Sheshet. They asked Rav Sheshet, me raglaim shel chamor mahu. What about urine of a donkey? This sounds pretty disgusting. Soon we're going to see that they actually used it as a cure for jaundice. So the urine of a chamor, what is it? Right, because it's something that comes out of a tameh. V'tibai, so now they say, why didn't you ask? V'tibai lehu disusim gmalim. Why did they specifically say chamorim, and why didn't they ask on susim gmalim? So they say disusim gmalim lo mebai lehu. They didn't even need to ask. D'lo achire v'lo damu lechalav, because there it's not. It's clear the urine of a horse and a camel, and therefore, since it's clear, it doesn't look at all like chalav. In other words, we had the whole debate yesterday about chalav, and we said chalav that comes out of a non-kosher animal is not kosher. So if it would look like chalav, it was cloudy, then we would say it's like chalav, and it's usher. But since it's clear, what do we say? Maya ol, maya nafik. What is urine? It's water. The water went into the animal. The water came right out of the animal. If it looks clouded up, then it's obvious that some process went through it in the animal. But dafka, the question is of a chamor, because there it's clouded and it looks like milk. My, do we say like this? Migufe kam mitzmatze va'asire odilma maya nafik v'hai da'achire havla debisrehu. It's the assumption is that if it's just water goes into the animal, water comes out of the animal, that's not forbidden. So susim gmalim would not be forbidden. The question is by a donkey, because it's clouded, do we say, obviously it underwent some process in the body of the chamor, and something about its body processed it, in which case it's included part of the donkey's in it, like the milk, in which case it's forbidden. Or do we say, no, it actually is also water that goes in and water that goes out. It just became clouded because of the heat in the body of the animal and the sweat and all that. And it, you know, got clouded along the way. But that it really is just water that went in and out, in which case it would be mutter. Amar lehu Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet says, Tani Tua, let's learn it from here. We learned limud like this from our Mishnah. Shayotze min atameh tameh vayotze min atahor tahor. Mitameh lo ka'amar ela min hatameh. It doesn't say mitameh in the Mishnah. It says min hatameh. Now, why does it say min hatameh? To teach you, hanenami mina detamehu. Anything that is from the animal, right? It's like, in other words, the point is they're saying this teaches you that the meraglayim are min of a tameh. They're coming out from the tameh, and since they're clouded, we're going to say it's like chalav. Okay, that's one way of reading it. There seems to be an opposite way of reading it, but we'll stick with this reading. Because as you can see, it's not exactly clear what the difference between min hatameh is rather than mi tameh. Okay, v'ika da'amre. Some people say that actually the suffix was not the same suffix we just said. Okay, until now we assume susim golem is just water goes in, water goes out. That's obviously allowed. The question is about the chamor because it gets clouded. Is it the part of a process of the animal, in which case it's going to be forbidden, or not? V'ika da'amre, that what happened was like this. The question was asked in this way. Disusim gmalim lo kamebailu. It's not even a question about susim gmalim. Why? De lo shatu inshe. They didn't ask the question because nobody in their right mind would eat the urine of horses and camels. Ki kamebailu. The question was asked de chamor, about a camel specifically. De shatu inshe umalu liyarkuna. Because that people drink and it helps them for jaundice. My. What do we say? So Amar lehu Rav Sheshet Tani Tua Hayotze min atame tame Vayotze min atahor tahor Vahane nami mi tame kaate. And this comes from a tame. Right here there's no drasha of the mean or not. It's just saying this comes from a tame and therefore it's forbidden. Sounds like they would say even urine would be forbidden, right, of a horse and a camel. It's just they didn't bother to ask the question because it wasn't a relevant question. Meitive, based on this then, if we assume that anything that goes into an animal comes out of the animal, whether a process happened to it, whether a process didn't happen to it, if it goes inside a non-kosher animal, it's going to be non-kosher. Okay, this, by the way, the most obvious example nowadays that we have, I don't know if you're familiar, but weasel coffee. Weasel coffee is they pass the coffee through the weasel, and it's supposed to, you know, be very good for it. And again, it kind of goes in as a coffee bean, it comes out as a coffee bean. It's not really, it's kind of like Mayim goes in, Mayim goes out, and yet we're going to hold that it's forbidden, which kind of goes like this reading of it. Meitive, now we're going to ask a question from this source. Mipnei ma amru dvash dvori mutar, mipnei shemachnisot otan legufan, ve'en mematzmetzot otan migufan. So now they're going to say, why then, right, here comes the braita, why do we say that dvash dvorim is mutar? And the answer is because the dvora drinks, right, eats the tsuf, the nectar from the plants, and then it becomes processed by enzymes found inside the bee's crop, which is like they call it the honey stomach. And then, right, the honey comes out of the body. Now, again, what would you say? It says, right, ein mematz mitzot otam migufan. Meaning, it's not, they don't excrete it from their bodies, right? They just bring it into their bodies, but they don't excrete it. Likewise, the urine of the donkey is not excreted, right? It's kind of ejected in the same form it entered the body. So why would we say that the urine is forbidden if the dvash is permitted? So what's the answer, right? This is very famous. Why should honey be permitted if it comes from a non-kosher animal? So they say, Huda Amaka Rabbi Yaakov, okay, Rav Sheshet, when he said this, when he said, Ayotse menatame tame, ayotse menatahor tahor, holds like Rabbi Yaakov, Da'amar, Duvsha Rachmana Sharia. Really, Dvash shouldn't be mutar, but the Torah matured it. How do we know this? Titania, Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Ach et ze tochlu michol sheretz ha'ov. Okay, so again, we have this ach, and this is what you can eat from the sheretz ha'of, and it lists the kosher birds that you can eat. We learn from here that you can eat this, okay, there's something that you can eat, but you can't eat a non-winged kosher creature. A non-kosher winged creature. Okay, so now, first of all, they're going to say, sheretz of tameh behed yektiv. What do you mean it's coming to teach you that you can't eat a sheretz of tameh? There's a pasuk that says you can't eat a sheretz of tameh, right? A non-kosher bird can't be eaten. You don't need to learn that from this pasuk. So now they explain, what does the braita mean? Ela, sheretz of tameh iata ochel. It comes to teach you that a sheretz, which means something that comes from an of tameh, meaning, right, something born to an of tameh, you're not allowed to eat. Okay, but you can eat, okay, but again, okay, and then we're going to say, right, aval ata ochel ma she'ov tamei mashritz. You can't eat a sheretz, the offspring of an of tamei, but what can you eat? You can eat ma she'ov mashritz, which is what? You can eat what an of tameh gives off, which is going to be the dvorah that gives off this honey. Yachol. Okay, so that's a special heter. That's what Rabbi Yaakov says. Really, in theory, these kind of things are generally usur. Special heter for dvash. Now, if you're going to be matir that, yachol af dvash ha-gizim v'atzirim. Okay, you might have thought even dvash that comes from gizin, which is some type of flying insect, possibly the cicada, some people say, or cicada, or the tzir'in, which are wasps, maybe they'll be mutar. Amarta lo. So they say, no, it's not. Umara ita l'rabot dvorim u'lotzi agizim v'atzir'in. Why would we say dvorim, yes, but gizin and tzir'im, no? Because marbeani dvash dvorim she'en lo shem levai. Umotziani dvash tagizim v'atzir'in she'yesh lo shem levai. The bee honey doesn't have a modifier. It's just called honey. And since it's just called honey, it's allowed. But things that have a shem levi modifier, and the modifier is a non-kosher creature, then we're not going to allow that. Kiman az lahad detanya dvash ha-gizim v'atzirin tahor umutar ba'achila. Now that was all Rabbi Yaakov. So Rabbi Yaakov says, dvash is mutar, based on what it says in the drasha on the pasuk from the Torah. The Torah matired it, but then said they didn't matir dvash gizim v'tzirin. But now we're going to say, so who does this go according to, where it says dvash gizim v'tzirin is tahor, we'll get back to that in a minute, umutar b'achila, and one is allowed to eat it. Obviously, that's diloka Rabbi Yaakov, because he just told us it's not allowed. What does it mean it's tahor? Tahor means that it can become impure, okay? Meaning it can be have tumat ochlin. Okay, it can be have the impurity of food on it. Now, why would something not have tumat ochlin if it's not edible? So now they're going to say tahor, because it says it's tahor, alma by machshava. What do we learn? In order for it to become susceptible to tuma, you must have intended, since most people don't eat this, it must be that it needs machshava. You need intent in order for it to contract tuma, you know, to be able to become tameh, because otherwise nobody really eats this. Tanya nami hachi, and here's another braita to support this, dvash bekavarto mitameh tumat ochlin shelo b'machshava. The dvash, if it's in its hive, right, which is regular honey, is mitameh tumat ochlin without machshava, which shows that honey from bees doesn't need machshava, but honey from the other, the gizin and the tzir'in and the wasps, that nobody really eats, would need machshava. Okay, now we're going to talk about all other cases of secretions that come out of animals. Chale de yachmorta. Okay, these are chunks that come out of the womb of a female fallow deer. Savar rabana lemeimar beininu. The question is, what are these things that came out? So the rabbis thought they were eggs, vasiran, and they forbade them because it's like ever minachai, right? Something live that comes out of a live animal. Amar Rav Safra, Zara da Ayalahu. It's the semen of an ayal. Da azel batar ayalta. Va'aide de rachman atzar lo mizdakka. What do we know about an ayal? The ayal tries to mate with the ayala, but her womb is too narrow, and therefore it doesn't mate with the ayal. And therefore, azel batar yachmorta. So therefore, the ayal mates with the yachmor. And what happens? There end up these chunks of its semen end up inside it, benatre, and they fall out of the deer's body. And therefore, we're going to say that those chunks are actually just semen, which then is not going to be usur. Again, whether you want to eat it or not is a separate question, but it's not going to be forbidden because it's just a, like a, what do you say, like refuse, like that, the psolet that comes out, and we don't view that as part of the animal of the body, of the, right? If it was an egg from the body, it would be considered Eiver Min HaChai. But since this isn't, it's going to be mutar. Amar Rav Huna, or haba kenega panav shel chamor mutar. The skin that comes out when a donkey's born, there's a fetal sac that's around it. So some people say it's the fetal sac, some people say it's the placenta we're talking about, is going to be mutar. My time, why is that? Isn't it coming from a non-kosher animal? Pir shaba almahu, it's just a secretion, and it's not actually an actual part of the mother or the newborn. Amale Rav Chista, Tanya de Vesayalach, Rav Chista says, I'll bring a braita that supports what you just said, Rav Huna. Or haba kenege panav shel adam, the skin, again, with a newborn baby, so whether it's the fetal sac or the placenta, bein chai, bein meit tahor, okay? What does this sound like? My love, bein hu chai v'imo chaya, bein hu meit v'imo meita, whether both the newborn is dead and the mother's dead, or whether they're both alive, it's going to be allowed because it's just a secretion, and therefore, even when they're both dead, it's not. Now, the point here is that it's not, right, what does it say? Tahor. Okay, now we're not talking about mutar or sur. We're talking about, is it impure? Now, if it's part of the mother or the child, then it'll be tameh because it'll have the impurity of the dead body. But since we view this as just a secretion, it's not going to have that tumah. So then Rav Huna says, lo, you can't use this as proof for me. Right, interesting, he tried to bring him a proof, but he then says, no, you can't prove that. Because bein hu chai v'imo meita, bein hu meit v'imo chaya. When it said ben chai ben meit, it might mean only if one of them is alive and one of them is dead. So then they say, right, but if both are dead, then we're going to say it's already impure. But then they say, but to reject what Rav Huna just said, v'hatanya, but doesn't it say in a braita, bein hu chai v'imo chaya, bein hu meit v'imo meita. We found another version of this braita where it says explicitly, even if both of them die, which again proves that it's just a secretion. And then it would prove what Rav Huna said earlier about the or haba kenege panav shel chamor would be mutar because it's just a secretion. So what does Rav Huna now answer, even though he tried to say this isn't what necessarily what it means? He says, itanya tanya, if you do say that, right, you found a braita that says that, then I can't argue with you. You must be right. Okay, new Mishnah. Dag tameh shabala dag tahor. You have a non-kosher fish that swallows up a kosher fish. Mutar ba'achila. If you take out the kosher fish from inside the body of the non-kosher fish, you can eat that kosher fish. V'tahor shabala dag tameh, and likewise, if you have a kosher fish that swallows a non-kosher fish, that non-kosher fish is asur ba'achila. Lefi she'eino gidulo, because that's right, it wasn't born from the tahor animal, it just happened to be swallowed by him. Now we're going to see, it's going to be a problem, how do you know whether it was swallowed or whether it was born to? So the Gemara says, what's clear from here? Tama de chazine de bala. Here it must be because you saw it swallowed. Halo chazine de bala. But if you didn't see it swallowed, then what would you assume? If you saw this non-kosher fish inside a kosher fish, what would you assume? Amre ishru she ashritz. Sorry, the opposite. If you saw the kosher fish inside the non-kosher fish, you might not be able to eat the kosher fish because what would you say? Maybe the non-kosher fish spawned the kosher fish. Okay, where will we learn this from? Minalan, that this would be the concern. Titania, dag tame mashritz, dag tahor matil beitzim. There were different ways the fish, whether you're a tame fish or a non-tame fish, it affects how you breed other animals. If you're a dag tahor, then you lay eggs. In which case, right, if you find this fish inside, obviously, right, the eggs come out and only from the eggs come the offspring. But in a dag tame, ish matrit, it spawns it, meaning that while it's, right, the it's kind of like a baby's born, right? It's grown, it becomes inside, right? It doesn't come, the egg hatches inside the body, basically, and then it basically is born as a tiny fish. So, therefore, clearly we'd be concerned if we saw this kosher fish inside a non-kosher fish, that maybe the kosher fish was born to the non-kosher fish. So, ihachi, if that's the case, ki chazina debala amrinan, then even so, we're going to now ask a question on this. Even if you saw that it swallowed, you could say what happened. You saw it swallow a kosher fish. But now what happens? You find this kosher fish inside, but it could be hai akla, the one that was kosher that it swallowed, it digested and kind of excreted already. The hai and the one that we found that was still inside that was whole, ashru she ashritz. Maybe it spawned it and it should be forbidden. So it shouldn't help if we saw it swallow it, because it doesn't mean, just because we saw it swallow, it doesn't mean that what's coming out is what we saw it swallow. So amar of sheshet, kigon shematza'o derech hara'i. It must be where you found it in the digestive tract, which isn't the place where it normally spawns its offspring. And therefore, we can assume that it was the one that you saw it swallow. Rav Papa Amar, we're going to have four answers to this question. Papa Amar, kigon shematza'o derech beit ablia. You found it in the throat area, right, in the gullet. Rav Nachman Amar, which means obviously it wasn't spawned there. Rav Nachman Amar, kigon shematza'o shalem. You found it completely formed, not like a newly hatched fish. And Rav Ashi Amar, rov dagim b'minam ratshritzin. U'kemisha balal lefaneinu dame. Most dagim only spawn their own type fish. And therefore, even if you didn't see it swallow a non-kosher fish, you can assume that it must have swallowed. It's as if it swallowed the kosher fish in front of us, because there's no other way a kosher fish would end up in the body of a non-kosher fish. Okay, so that's it for today. We'll start with the Tana Rabbanan with the Braita tomorrow.